Father, we do thank you that we have the privilege of opening your word, your living word to us. And as we turn to this passage this morning, please help us to wrestle with it and to open our hearts to hear its invitation and then to respond in the light of it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems to me that when you really begin to understand the Christian faith, there are many surprises and, in fact, delights. Let me share some which I've thought of. That the entire move in the Christian faith is not from us to God, but from God to us. Isn't that staggering? Isn't that wonderful? That God loves us even when our backs were turned. No, let's be serious. Even when we were rebelling against him, he loves us. That he makes the first move. That it's all about what he has done for us, not what we must do for him. That it's not all about rules and rituals. That, as I'm sure you've heard Michael say before, it's not about religion, but about relationship. Friends, these are great, liberating, exciting realities. But there's one more which I think is surprising to many when they get it. That God is not some ogre in the sky from whom one must keep their distance, but someone who has drawn near to us and made it possible for rebels like me to draw near and to stand in the awesome presence of the King of Kings. I want to urge you to make 2026 the year of drawing close, of drawing near, closer to God in every way, in love, in devotion, in commitment, in dependence or trust, and in service. So let me tell you where we're going today. I want to ask why draw near, how do you do that, and what will it look like in practice? So first of all, why? Why draw close? Because we can, and we should. Can I remind you that God has first drawn close to us in the person of his Son? That is, John chapter 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friends, that's close. That's about as close as Creator can come to his creatures. It's a sure sign that he wants to be with us. But there's more. Following Jesus' ascension to the presence of his Father, God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell where? To dwell within us. So Paul can say to the Ephesians in chapter 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Dwell in your hearts. That's even closer. But how can this be, since I am flawed, since I was a rebel? How can a sinful person like me be in the presence of a holy, pure God who cannot look on sin? Or rather, how can God dwell in a person like me by his Spirit? That's why I love this Hebrews passage, which was read for us from chapter 10. I hope you have it open in front of you, because Jesus has made the way. You will recall reading in the Gospels that the moment Jesus died, this curtain in the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom, showing it was an act of God. The curtain kept sinful people from a holy God. But Jesus paid the price and bore my sin. What's that line from that beautiful song, How Deep the Father's Love? My sin upon his shoulders. He opened the way, says this passage, through the curtain by his body broken for us, given for us, so that our hearts may be sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed as symbolized in baptism. And as a result, I am clean. God now sees me as holy because he has dealt with all that was unholy. And the access that I am welcome to have to the Father was symbolically represented in the curtain of the temple coming down. Can you imagine being in the temple that day? This thick curtain which you knew that no one could go behind except the high priest once a year. And suddenly you're standing there and it's ripping. You can hear a noise. What's that noise? And it's suddenly open. And you're laid bare before the presence of God, which for hundreds of years had been curtained off. How dramatic. How wonderful. The way to the presence of God was opened by what Jesus has done, which means that someone like me and someone like you can now approach the presence of the most holy God. He has done all that was needed for rebels to meet with the King of Kings. And so now he warmly invites us into his presence. The author of the letter to the Hebrews urges us to draw near, not shying back, scared stiff, but draw near with confidence because of what he has done for us. Have a look with me again. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest set over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, no second thoughts, no doubts. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God. It's an amazing invitation. Why do we ignore it? Why do we spend so much of our time with some distance between God and ourselves? Why do we drift, meander, procrastinate, make excuses, grow cold, sometimes grow hard against God? Friends, sometimes we're pathetic, aren't we? Or perhaps I should speak for myself. We have the amazing privilege of drawing ever so close to our gracious Heavenly Father, and yet we often walk apart. But friends, we'll explore shortly what a great difference it makes when we do draw near. So I'm urging us to make 2026 the year of drawing near and staying near. But how? How do you do this? First, I need to say something to people here, to anyone here who may not yet be a Christian. And you might say, well, surely, Mark, everyone here is a Christian. Otherwise, why would they be in church? But my experience over 38 years of ministry tells me that there will be people who are with us this morning who are not Christians, but with us for many reasons. There may be some who are just checking out St. John's. You're on a journey to finding out what Christianity is all about. That's brilliant. I'm so glad you're here. Keep going. Keep asking Michael all the hard questions that you have. There may be some here who come lovingly with your spouse, your believing spouse, and you come week by week because you want to support them. That's so kind and so thoughtful and so generous of you. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here too. It's a beautiful thing to do. And there may be others who have assumed that they're Christian for many years, but in reality are people who simply attend church. And you know not yet anything of a genuine relationship with God. If I've described you in any of the above, then drawing near to God requires a first step of turning your life around, from that of a rebel and changing allegiance from yourself as king to the Lord God as king. It means changing sides, changing allegiances, confessing that you have been at the front and center of your life, and making a purposeful turn towards God and asking for his help now to love and serve him as your first passion and priority. The Bible's word for that is to repent. And that's just what Jesus first called people to do in the Gospels. It wasn't just to believe the good news, it was to repent and believe the good news. So I want to urge anyone here today who is not a Christian to do just that and do it today, to repent and believe the glorious good news of the offer of forgiveness and relationship with God, to turn from sin and self to God with great joy and delight, and to believe the good news that if you do that, there is forgiveness and peace and reconciliation with God as your Father and the free gift of eternal life. What precious good news is that? So that's the starting point in drawing near to God for those who are not yet Christians. But I also realise that probably for most of us here today, we are Christians, and some of us for a very long time. And the starting point for us in drawing near, well, it might just be repentance, mightn't it? Not in that big, huge, capital R repentance at the beginning, but if you've wandered off, if your love for God has grown cold, then drawing near will start with, I'm sorry. I'm sorry there's been so much time between when I last came to you in prayer, when I last opened your word. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry my love has grown cold. I'm so sorry I've been taking you for granted. That may be the first step in coming back. And it continues by saying, thank you so much for your love and invitation to draw near. And then time, as I said earlier, reading God's word, mulling it over, considering how it applies, considering what God is saying to you through his word. Time, unhurried, regular, real, passionate, heartfelt time. When you get to know him, when you listen to him, when you're still before him, acknowledging that he is God. And then saying to God, or saying again, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want for me, your will be done. Use me as you want. I want to offer to myself to be used by you as you will. Well, finally, I want to ask, what does it look like when someone draws near to God? What difference might it make to your life if you make a concerted effort in 2026 to draw near to God according to his invitation and according to what he's made possible in Jesus' death and resurrection? Friends, the closer you walk with your Heavenly Father, your small hand in his big hand, then watch out. Your life will be changed. When you walk closely with God, you will worry less. Knowing that he has promised to provide all your needs and that he knows them before you ask. When you draw near to God, friends, you will have the peace that passes understanding, because you will take everything to him in prayer and you will trust him. When you draw near to God, you will more readily display the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because that will be the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in your life as you draw near to God and spend unhurried time with him and allow him to do that transforming work in your heart and allow him to show you what needs to be changed. When you draw near to God, you will handle disaster and tragedy, yes, with sadness, absolutely, but not with despair. Because you will know and trust that God is with you as your refuge and your strength. When you draw near to God, you will trust that his plans are good and perfect in every way. And you will have confidence that all things work together for those who know and love the Lord, Romans 8:28. When you draw near to God, you will have wisdom for the many decisions that you make. Because you're walking more closely with him, it will mean that you're seeing and understanding the world more as he sees it. And he will transform your mind. So you will have wisdom for those decisions. When you draw near to God, you will be more humble, dependent, thankful, and grateful. Is this looking so far like a good thing to be drawing near to God, if this is what it looks like? Does it seem like a good idea? When you draw near to God, you'll become more other person-centered as he works his change in you and as you grow to be more like the Lord Jesus. When you draw near to God, you will become strong and bold in the face of temptation, because you will recognize it immediately and you'll say no. The Lord with whom I just spent an unhurried half an hour this morning would not have me do that. You'll want to be more pleasing to him. As you increasingly, the more you spend time with him, you'll increasingly share his distaste for sin. You will shun greed and materialism and envy and jealousy. You will face death even with joyful anticipation. Yes. Yes, because you will be confident that you will be going to be with the Lord and you'll be seeing him face to face. When you draw near to God, you'll become more content as you grow to know and trust the Saviour. You will have learned the secret of contentment through walking with your Father. You'll be content because you'll know he's looking after you. You'll be content because you'll trust him for your future. You'll be content because you'll trust that he has everything perfectly under his control. You'll be able to hold firm to him when you draw near to him. You become more and more content and you'll hold firm because you'll be more familiar with him, because you'll be used to being in his presence. You'll hold firm no matter what storm or trials hit, no matter what illness or accident impacts you, no matter what persecution or ridicule you'll suffer, no matter what temptation comes your way, you'll stand firm. You won't easily be rocked. You'll be like that tree in Psalm 1 that stands firm no matter what happens, because you'll have been spending time in his word. You'll be immovable in your relationship with God. You won't be open to ridicule or persecution. Suffering will not rock you, because you'll have this deep desire to love and serve and worship him and please him. Friends, that is what I want for all of us. That is what I want for all Christian people. And when we fail to draw near, we miss out on so much. Friends, we have such an amazing privilege to walk so closely, so intimately with the King of Kings. So let's make 2026 the year that we're doing just that. Put away any insecurities or fears. Cast aside any distractions or temptations. And let us draw ever closer to our great and wonderful Heavenly Father. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen.